Today is February 3rd, 2009. We are at the Amelia Island Museum of History, 233 3rd Street, Fernandina Beach, Florida. The following interview is being conducted as part of the Amelia Island Museum of History's Veterans History Project in partnership with the Library of Congress. We are interviewing William S. Huebner, who was born August 20th, 1945, in Bletchley, England. My name is Roberta Faust, and I will interview the subject on behalf of the Amelia Island Museum of History. Assisting me is Don Hill, who will operate the recording equipment. Bill, why don't we start by talking about where you were and what you were doing when you decided to enlist in the Navy.
I was living in Point Pleasant Beach, New Jersey. I went to graduate in high school, and went to a year of college, and I said, this isn't for me, and I dropped out. And I was working part-time, and I figured, I'm going to get hit by the draft. So I went down and enlisted in the Navy.
Oh, okay. Now, of course, this was 1965, so it was in the Vietnam War, and lots of people were being drafted. Why did you pick the Navy?
Because I didn't want to join the Army.
Okay. Well, there was still the Air Force and the Marines.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I figured the Navy was probably about the safest.
Okay. And so you were in New Jersey, where, as I said, we're in November of 1965. You joined the Navy. And what happened? Where did they send you for training?
I went to boot camp in San Diego, California.
Was this the first time you were out in California?
No, actually, it was the second. I went out there, visited years earlier when my aunt and uncle moved.
Oh, okay.
I went out there with them.
So it wasn't a complete culture shock for you?
No, not complete.
What kind of training did you undergo?
Basic boot camp training, drilling, and testing, and there were psychological tests, I guess you call it, to find out what best be suited for.
Okay, so after the basic training then, is that when you decided to, or were you assigned to missile tech area?
After boot camp, I was sent to Dam Neck, Virginia, electronics school up there. And then once you've got the, through the basic training up there, they figure where to send you, what schooling to give you.
Did you get any choices in this, or did they just, from the testing and your education or
for the testing and the education, they said, well, let's send you to missile school.
What had you been studying in college before?
Basic liberal arts.
Oh, okay. So you hadn't really had any or technical training at all. Okay, so you went for that training, and then what happens?
A year and a half up there, and then about almost 2 years, and then when I got transferred to Guam, to the USS Proteus in Guam.
Okay, and so what was your assignment there?
I was assigned to the missile area on the Proteus, tested, transferred missiles to submarines.
Okay, so what does that entail? I mean, what, for those of us who...
Basically what it did was we hooked up the missiles to the testing equipment, ran the tests on it, make sure they were still, they work good.
Yeah.
Like they were supposed
right.
to. And then we transfer them to the submarines.
Oh, okay. Do you load them onto the submarines?
Yeah.
Or? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're big tubes. And they go, mm.
Okay. How long were you on Guam?
I was there for a year and a half.
What was Guam like? I mean, this was still the height of the Vietnam War, right?
Yeah. Well, that Guam, they said they had a saying there. Guam was good, but it was good. Nice, warm area. It was South Pacific.
Any interesting stories to tell about experiences on Guam, or was life just pretty routine?
Pretty routine, really. You weren't. Working, basically, you went out there and you saw the area and stuff like that. I had one good time. I mean, good time, right? Was that the first time or second time? Second time I was there. I think it was the first time I was there. They had a tornado, not a tornado, a typhoon.
Oh, wow.
Come through, and we had to go out, pull out for that, and lost power.
Were there a lot of, there's a lot of traffic, I imagine, going in and out of Guam at the time.
Well, we were in a secure area, so basically, other than the resupply ship and the submarine, there wasn't much traffic out in that area, the harbor.
How much naval personnel was there in Guam at the time? I mean, was it huge?
Well, they had probably a couple thousand sailors there, some Marines, and they had the Air Force up the north end of the island.
What kind of training did you have to before you became a missile tech? I mean, did they give you any... Is it just the physical kind of training, or do they give you any kind of training on how to handle
electronic training and how to handle the equipment and the missiles and stuff like that?
Now these are
basically most of it is hands-on training.
Okay, so this is all conventional missiles, not nuclear.
No, these are big
missiles. Oh, these are the nuclear missiles. Okay, so are you given special training to handle nuclear weapons?
Well, they had a section that was just handled the weapons themselves. We handled the lower section of the missile.
Okay. All right, so you were in Guam for about, you said, a year and a half, I think?
A year and a half.
Okay, and then what happened?
Transferred to Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
And back and forth up to Dam Neck for a little training in Charleston.
What kind
basically of... Basically the same thing in Charleston as we were doing in Guam.
Oh, okay. So is it, you said you a little more training.
A little more advanced training. I went up to Dam, Virginia again for a little more advanced training.
Like what? I mean,
electronic training, basically, for the newer upgrades.
Oh, I see.
Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And then you just, in Charleston, you were doing the same kind of thing?
Same thing as in Guam.
Okay.
Except the weather was different.
That's true.
Yeah.
No typhoons, just hurricanes.
Yeah.
Okay, and so then what?
Then it was back to, I got transferred back to Guam.
Mm-hmm.
I like Guam. And basically the same thing.
How long were you there the second time?
A year and a half again.
Yeah.
A year and a half. And then...
By this time, the war's over, isn't it? The Vietnam War is over?
Yeah, this was early 72, 70, in that area.
Oh, okay, so the war is still...
Yeah, the war's over.
Yeah. Did you see much of a difference in your...
More Japanese over there.
Okay.
The island was getting developed up again, or developed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of construction going on.
Okay, so after your second tour of Guam, what?
It was back to Virginia for a little more training.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I went to Scotland.
Oh.
Back home. Went up there for, I think it was about a year and a half, 2 years.
And same kind of job.
Yeah,
so we really had a naval presence in Scotland.
Oh, yeah. There was a tender over there, sub-tender over there, and in Holy Loch. And it was basically around the loch from the British submarine base.
Did American soldiers interface at all with the British or the...
Yeah, we had a lot of people. A lot of them lived off the ship, lived on the local economy. I had fun over there. Met quite a few friends over there. Right now, I couldn't tell you who they were.
did you get a chance to travel around?
Oh yeah, I got to travel down to my home. Where I was born, went down there twice, and went over to Germany for Oktoberfest type up there. And basically traveled around the area.
You mentioned that you were born in Bletchley. How did that happen?
My father was in the Army, stationed over in during the war. And met my mother over there and got married. And
came back to the United States. Okay, so you were in Scotland for a year.
A year and a half. So. Uh-huh.
And then they moved you to
it
where?
It was back to Charleston. I like to hop around. I like Charleston. Charleston's home area.
Uh-huh.
And I was there in, must have been 70.
It should be
77.
Yeah.
Got to Charleston. And there until 79, I got transferred to Kings Bay.
Ah! Now we're getting a little closer to home. Okay, and what was your job in Kings Bay?
Basically the same thing. Actually, 79 is when the base opened. The tender at Simon Lake came in August of 79. I got here in September 79. I left Charleston in September, and I was coming south as Hurricane David was going north. And we passed each other, and I had to go back up Charleston for a couple days for pick up a couple other things. And the trailer park I lived in was under 3 foot of water.
Wow. Wow. It was nice to be on the road then.
Yeah, it was. I got out of there in time.
Right. Okay, so you settled in Kings Bay, and how long were you able to...
I was on the lake, Simon Lake, for, 79 to 82. And then I got transferred to the base itself, sub base, and I worked down the waterfront and in supply and on the base.
Until
I retired in
January of 86. Okay, was your career typical that they would be moving you around every couple of years?
Back then, yeah. It was pretty much typical, unless you wanted to try and stay within one area. But I was, I wanted to see the world. That's what
right.
I joined the Navy for one reason. So I got moved around. But now it's pretty much stay within one area if you try and stay within one area. Keeps down on the moving expenses.
Yeah, I bet. During your career in the Navy, were there any unusual experiences, meeting any particular people or any particular accidents or hair-raising experiences or anything of that nature?
Well, other than the time that we were on the Proteus when we went out and lost power.
You want to elaborate?
We were going out and, the Proteus... Back in 69, when I was on there, was an old ship then. It was commissioned during World War II as a conventional subtender. And it was a little on the old side. And they just lost power for a while when I was out there. It was a bit of a hair raiser for a while. Uh-huh. They got power back on. And then when I was up in Charleston... lived out on Mount Pleasant, which is one of the barrier islands across the river. And Hurricane Hugo through there. And I saw the house I used to live in. It was the only one of three houses still standing on the
Wow. Had you ever been to sea before you joined the Navy?
No. Fishing boats, that's about it.
Yeah. Is there much getting used to living on a subtender?
On a ship?
Yeah.
Or basically any ship. You got a small area where you got to keep all your personal possessions in a small locker area.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep your, basically you keep your possessions to a minimum. But most of the time, other than what I had to do, I'm on board ship. I lived off the ship, on the local
mm-hmm.
economy. It was a little more relaxed area.
Did most of the
people lived, especially the when there were let's say E5 and E6 and above, they didn't live on board ship.
Most of the people that you work with, most of them career Navy also?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Career being, they stayed in for 10 years at the least.
Uh-huh. So you were in Kings Bay, which obviously is very close to Amelia Island. What made you, how did you wind up, very close to Nassau County and Yulee. How did you wind up settling here after you?
I moved down here and friend of mine lived on the island, and I figured moved into Florida rather than stay in Georgia, because down in Florida I wouldn't have to pay state income tax.
Right.
Like
that's why lots of us moved to Florida.
So that's basically why I moved to Florida, and then I just stayed down here, like the area.
Have you been retired, or do you work?
I am semi-self unemployed.
Okay.
I work when I want to.
I see. And what do you do now?
I do some work for a local recycler.
Oh, okay. Do you have anything in particular that you want to add? Any little stories or any particular people or events that that might be of particular interest?
Not really. I figure my career was pretty mundane.
But probably typical of what...
Pretty much so, I guess, yeah. When I was up in Charleston one time, I had a pet dog, shepherd. And when I got transferred to Scotland, my folks took the dog. And for some reason, that dog did not like police uniforms. But he was donated, he was given to the police department.
Oh, no.
A canine dog. And my folks told me that he was on the halftime show in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Bowl down in Miami. One year, I'm not sure which year it was, but he was one of the dogs in a halftime show.
Wow. Well, that's pretty close to being famous.
Yeah, semi-famous, yeah. I guess.
Don, do you
May
have...
I ask a
yes,
question
please.
Bill, two-part question, if I may, please. First of all, what was the name of the subtender in Holy Loch when you were there? Was it the Hunley or was it the Simon Lake that had come... From
in
Holy Loch.
Loch, it was the Hunley.
The Hunley.
Yeah.
Again, another old World War II.
No, actually, it was.
Was the Hunley newer?
Yeah, Hunley was newer. It was built as a FBM tender.
Explain for whoever's going to hear this wonderful story about the non-deployment schedule of these tenders and what happened when the Proteus put to sea and you lost power. That was unusual, was it not?
Normally,
they just park, do they not?
Yeah, normally they just park and they got generators running for the power and stuff
right.
like that. But the reason we had to go to sea was because of a typhoon.
Typhoon, right.
Which is a hurricane out in the Pacific. And we batten down the hatches and tie everything down, go out to sea and try and stay away from the typhoon. And I guess the engines being old, they decided to say, "Hey, I'm quitting for a little while. I'm taking a rest." So it was without power for about, I think, 4 or 5 hours.
But you were never deployed on a boomer.
On a submarine? No. Uh-huh. No, I was one of the lucky ones. my detailer told me that my next command would be a submarine. I said, "No, my next command is going to be a
retirement."
Retirement. Yeah.
Is that what encouraged you to retire, or was
basically,
it just?
Yeah. It basically, they said I was going to go to the submarine. I said, "No, I'm going to go to the civilian."
Okay. Because, well, I mean, I just had assumed after 20 years that's pretty much career, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so you've lived in the Yulee area ever since you retired?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have anything else that you need to add? Okay, well, then we want to thank you very much for sharing your recollections with us. And this concludes our interview with William S. Huebner. Thank you.
You're welcome.